sitting here, and we're ready. Are you ready, sir? Okay, come on up. Appreciate you being here. Been a joy.
Thank you. Sorry to arrive a little late. Exact time. I was trying to work on my tan. It's not doing so well on that area. But we're happy to see the Joneses back. Yeah. It's a joy. Listen, let me say this to get it out of the way. Shelley and I and my daughter Rachel truly thank Pastor. You know, I met him on the phone and he invited me to come. And Pastor Bruce, thank you for the years of service and the friendship through the years. And Mark, thank you. And many in this church here probably remember me years ago when I came. So thank you so much. You know, we are coming from Suriname, so when I come, I pick up the phone and I call to get a meeting. I'm not with a mission board or anything. It's true. Landmark out of Florida, that church that we are out of. I remember going to a church all the way from Brandon all the way to Tennessee. I think Shelley and I drove 12 hours just to get there, and the guy gave me 5 minutes. He said, you have 5 minutes. But I thank God for that 5 minutes. So they're all different areas, but thank you, Pastor. You know, he said, come, I don't know what I'm going to do with you, but I've never met the guy, you know, I've never seen him, and his family, so gracious, all the kids and all of that, his wife and all that, we thank you all so much. It's a blessing. And he said, I'll probably give you Sunday school, and then we'll think about it, pray about it, and so forth. But the Lord work it out. It's a blessing to be here. Shelley and I and Rachel would leave tonight, and we go back to Brandon, Florida, and then Shelley and I will leave to go back to Suriname probably in another 2 weeks. We're here for some medical checkup and all that good stuff. But we thank God that it has been almost over 40 years ministering there and the region in that area and preaching the gospel. And during that time, a tremendous amount of persecution, like I told you. Rachel was born during a civil war. We were held hostage by the guerrillas. And there was no doctor, nurses, and no medical facilities. And the fighting was severe. Everything was being destroyed. But we decided we're going to stay in that same place because there are still people there to be ministered to. So we stayed all through that war. And when Rachel was to be born, we went deep in the jungle of Suriname because Shelley had known, and we have known of a midwife there. We went there, and Rachel was born. Praise God, healthy. Everybody said that the bullet and the gunfire and all that will destroy her brains. But we have a God that is the God of the impossible. You remember the story with Gabriel? I tried to go back there and see Gabriel, trying to explain to Mary what is going to happen. Mary couldn't get it. What are you talking about, Gabriel? I've never, you know, all of that. And then Gabriel is trying to explain to Mary. Mary cannot get it. And finally, Gabriel said this. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, for with God, nothing is impossible. And those words were so powerful in her ears and in her heart that she realized that, wow, the God of the impossible will do what is possible because he's God and there is none beside him. So we are thankful to God through the years, and we stay in that civil war and came back out in the capital city called Parma. But we could have come to the United States, you know. We have a lot of connection here, and Shelley had a lot of family here. We could have left Suriname and come to the United States. But when we went in the capital city of Suriname, that is called Paramaribo, we looked for a Baptist church. And we couldn't find a Baptist church. So we decided we're going to start a Baptist church in this capital city where Islam is predominant, Hinduism, Catholicism, and all the ism that you could think about is in this country. So we stayed right there and start Calvary Baptist Church, like I said, in a living room. But during that process of time, we had opposition from every religion. They come heavily against me because I was not come under any umbrella. I was coming by myself, just Shelley and I and two girls trying to start a Baptist church among all these people that hate Christianity and want to wipe out Christianity. Well, to keep it short, it was, I think, 20 years ago or 22 years ago, they told me that I will have to die. The Muslim will have to kill me. Because you can't have a name Muhammad. And I hit the radio. I hit everywhere where I could preach Christ. I was on the radio every morning for over 25 years. Every morning, Monday to Friday, Saturday life, Sunday life. And so when I come on the television, I'm just before. I have 10-minute slot every Saturday, one time a week. And it's just before football. Again, it is football. You kick it with your foot. So, and everybody, football is like, they love football. So everybody's glued to that TV, waiting for this game to begin. And bam, before the game begins, Muhammad is right there in their face, preaching Christ. That bothered them so much. But God is the one who gave me that slot on television, because the guy said, you are not going to get on. And then he called me and said, I don't know how you get on, but you get on. All of the boards decide that you could come. And two guys, both dressed with ninja, and both had 38, came through the door where Shelley and I and Rachel was living, and I saw them. I saw them. And I tried to protect Shelley and tried to protect Rachel. And both of them, they were very brave. They shot, bam, and the first bullet hit me and went through and through my leg. And there was blood everywhere. So I think these guys thought I was dead. The second bullet hit Rachel and split the bone and lodged in there, and she had to be hospitalized, cast, and all kinds. The third bullet missed Shelley, but before they left, they thought we were all dead. But to God be the glory, people say, Muhammad, what do you think about that? During that time, during this persecution and trial, it is when Shelley and I and our family saw the power of this God that we serve. Here, these guys, they're like where Shelley and Rachel is my daughter, and we are here. And this guy is shooting, and the bullet didn't hit me anywhere in my upper body. Think about that. When they came to do the investigation, these are Hindu guys. They said, your God that you serve is really good to you. The bullet did not, how this guy's going to shoot you point blank? And the bullet hit you through and through, and your daughter all the way in her leg. So we're serving a great God. It's a great God. And again, everybody say, I got phone calls and friends calling from America. Oh, Muhammad, they're going to kill you in this country. You have to come to America. You have to come. We have a church. We have money. We have a house for you and all that kind of stuff. So I told a friend in Brandon, I said, you know, if I come to America, I would not be comfortable. And he said, why? Why, Muhammad? You'll have your church. People want you to be the pastor of their church and all that kind of facilities. I said, man, I don't think anybody would be shooting at me. Let me be. But saying all this is, you sit in the church, right? You have your Bible. Open your Bible. Let me give you some verses here. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, in Joshua, chapter number 1, this is what God said to Joshua. He said to Joshua, in Joshua, chapter number 1, and in verse number 6, look very carefully what he said to Joshua. All you young preacher boys and you that are here that are in the ministry. He said to Joshua, and it's for each one of us that are redeemed. We call ourselves Christians. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Then when you come to verse number 7, he said to Joshua, only, this is one thing I want you to do. One thing, only. And David will use those words, I think, in Psalm. He said, this one thing I desire of the Lord. We must have some kind of desire. And God is saying to Joshua, only be thou strong. And look at that. And very courageous. And then he said to Joshua in verse number 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. And then in verse number 18, he reminding Joshua again and again, only, in the latter part of that verse, only be strong and of a good courage. And I believe with all my heart that because Joshua listened to the word of God, and follow the instruction of God. You know the story. Joshua saw so much miracles and power of the God of heaven. And that is the only way I believe you can understand from your heart that my God is real and he's able. Joshua was faced with the consequences of this Jericho wall. Jericho wall, you would know that you study, was a huge wall. Two chariots could have, it's like a two-lane highway. Two chariots back and forth. So think how thick this wall was and how big no enemy could have penetrated that wall because it was built to protect the people in Jericho. When you go back and study the scripture, you would realize that God instructed Joshua and his men, don't touch it. Never was Joshua allowed to touch the wall of Jericho. All he was allowed to do, walk around it and play some music. Walk around it and play some music. And at the right time, God showed Joshua how powerful he is. The wall of Jericho fell down, came down to pieces because of the power of the God we serve. So what he's saying, he said, can I have three young guys in the church? Three young guys I need. So I want you to, since I'm leaving after the service, I pray that God may help you to remember the message that we have heard this morning and this message that we are hearing now. So I have a young guy here. So you stand up here. You stand, okay. So this one is going to hold this. I just scribbled this. Strong, courageous, and bold. So all through, lift it up high. Through the scripture, you would realize that God has used this. Strong, courageous, and bold. Now, you can say, well, Muhammad, I've been in church, and I have never seen anything happen. Well, I need somebody else. Can I have another young guy to come? I need another young guy to show you what is happening and where we are. Somebody else? Oh, he's coming. Now, you go to Walmart, right? You normally go to Walmart. So you go to Walmart and you buy yourself a fish bowl. So here you have it. He buy a fish bowl. Got some water. You put it in this bowl here. And he decided he's going to buy himself a goldfish. So get a fish bowl, get the water. And let me, just for illustration, I don't have a live fish. Back home I probably would. But here, he buy a fish and he put his goldfish there. And every afternoon after he comes from work, put some food, hey goldfish, hey. And the goldfish go wrong and around and around. And the goldfish is happy, comfortable. The goldfish don't have to do anything. The goldfish just have to, hey, laugh. You know? Because he comes and he take care of the water. He take care of the food. He look at the fish. He play with the fish. He talk to the fish. You know, let's say you don't have a girlfriend. Hey, goldfish. You know? I'm just hypothetically saying that. But if you are married, that's okay. You know, I do this with Shelly all the time. Shelly and I have been married 50 years, December. So he's playing with his goldfish. Now look at this carefully. Get this. This goldfish will be here, and that's it. This goldfish will live and die right here. And this goldfish will be 3.5 inches. 3.5 inches here. And that's all this goldfish knows. This goldfish is here, and all this goldfish know is I'm in 3.5 inches. And that's my space. I swim. I got food. And I'm comfortable. Take that goldfish out of the water. And you put that goldfish. I said, I didn't tell you to take it out. I'm just kidding. So, if I decide to take this goldfish, the same goldfish now, I'm taking this goldfish out of this fish bowl. I put this goldfish in a pond where this goldfish can be the goldfish. The goldfish now is a goldfish. Here, the goldfish is not a goldfish. The goldfish has this guy giving him everything he needs. The goldfish would grow from 3.5 inches. The goldfish would go 14 inches. 14 inches. So my plea to you is that don't get stuck in this fishbowl mentality that you're left here. And that's all you think about. Our church is doing fine. We're financially good. We have a pastor. We come to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday night. We give our tithes and offering. What more? What more? We sit in the pew and we listen. Is that all God wants from me as a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is that all there is for me? So I'm going to live and die in this comfort zone of 3.5 inches? And that's all I can see. All I know about is here. But if I'm allowed, if I take myself out of this and let God come in and be strong, courageous and bold for him, I can go to my potential of 14 inches. My potential is not here. God has great and mighty things for me. And I have never seen it. The missionary come and talk about persecution and what God has done. The evangelists come, the pastor is talking about. But I just sit there and observe it. That's not what God wants for you. God wants you to get involved in him. And whatever little it is, because little is much when God is in it. Don't sell yourself short. Get involved in some little way. You have a local church. You have a church here. Get involved in some way. Thank you, sir. You guys would stay with me. So you see that? And you can check it out, what I'm saying, about this goldfish mentality. And that is what is happening in many churches. We have done our best and all that kind of stuff. But God is saying to Joshua, if I can use you, Joshua, if I really can use you, you have to be strong, you have to be courageous, and you have to be bold. We have lost that in the United States of America. America is losing this. We're afraid. Listen, I was in a government office in Brandon, Florida. And at 12, I watching this Muslim guy. I knew he's going to do it. At 12, he went in his bag. He spread something in the government office. He spread a little cloth. He bowed down. And he's trying to face Mecca. And he did a little prayer. In a government office. No one in that government office tried to stop him. Nobody. But you mentioned the name Jesus Christ. You mentioned the name Jesus Christ. And see what happened. I was in Daytona. And preaching a revival, and then after the pastor said, let's go, you can go in this area and share some tracts. The minute I'm sharing this tract, bam, the cops came. What are you doing? Well, I'm passing out some tracts here, some literature. But he don't realize that this will be a good day for him, this police officer, and it will be a good day for me. He said, well, you cannot do that in this area. This area is restricted. I said, why can't I do it in this area? Look at the trap. All he's telling about are the love of Jesus Christ. He said, oh, you can be arrested. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Do it. He said, well, you want to be arrested? I said, yeah. I've never been in a prison in the United States. No, I've never been. I preach in juvenile delinquent prison in the United States, but I've never really been a prisoner. So, what is wrong with that? I said, go ahead, do it. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, think about it. Tomorrow newspaper, Muhammad in prison for preaching Christ. For preaching Christ. The guy said, he didn't know what to do. He said, your name is, I said, yeah, look here, my driver, Muhammad. I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, man, next time come to the police station and get a permission or something like that. I never went back to the police station. But what I'm saying is that we are so afraid of everything. So afraid of everything. I go to the Cancer Research Center in Brandon, and I'm doing the scan. And they told me, I walk in there, praise God, hallelujah. He's alive. And all these nurses and doctors, oh no, Muhammad, you can't do that here. There's a table there. They told me there's a table. You could put some track. I said, that table doesn't belong to me. I have nothing to do with the table. I am my own table. I'm my own table. We have allowed every other religion to come in the United States and dominate us. Dominate us and take over our liberty and destroying everything that we have built. You have to get back and be strong, courageous. And what? And what if you were placed in prison? What happened then? Paul spent a lot of time in prison. Why are we afraid? What happened? Paul was in prison. Remember the story? But he was strong. He was courageous. And he was bold. And here is Paul. He's preaching Christ. He's been persecuted, beaten with rods, blood spewing everywhere, and thrown into the prison cell, left there probably to die, wrapped. I need another young guy. We have another young guy somewhere? A young guy. Oh, come. So I'm Silas. No, I wanted to show you. Okay, I let him be Silas. You be Silas.
All right.
Now think about it. Blood everywhere on this guy. Blood, blood, blood. Now you have to try to see it, right? Try to visualize it. Blood everywhere. Hold it there, Silas. And I'm Paul. And we are wrapped there. And it's blood. There is blood. There is beaten. We are beaten with rods. And we are wrapped in chains. And we are left there to die. But because Paul and Silas, they were what? Strong, courageous, and bold. Paul and Silas decided, we are going to quit. Read the scripture. We are not going to continue with this. Oh, blah, 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 blah. No. You never read that in the Bible. Never read a word of complaining. Never read a word of criticizing. Paul could have said, well, I did my best, man. I'm preaching and look at what got me in. Look at what happened to me because I'm preaching the gospel. And look what it got me. But never in that chapter, when you read it, did Paul say a word of complaining or criticizing. Neither Silas. But back there, in the prison cell, you could hear the voice of Paul as he sing, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. He's singing about the love of Jesus Christ. Back there in that cell, I can see Silas say, oh, Paul, please, 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 I want to sing too. Let me sing too. And they were having a singing competition. Go ahead, Silas.
There is a name I love to hear.
Oh, man, Silas. Is you can't take my song. You see the difference? You see what's happening? I could hear Silas singing from the prison cell and hitting me with something else. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And because, listen to this, because Paul and Silas, they were strong, courageous, and bold, there was an earthquake. Where? I love that. Right there. That earthquake was not anywhere else. It was right there by that prison cell. And the prison door was burst open. And you remember the story. And the Philippian jailer rushed in and said, what must I do to be saved? Praise God that Paul did not say, go to Pine Bluff. Thank God he did not say, go to Calvary or go to one of these other Baptist church. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They saw it, that Philippian jail and his house and many servants all probably got saved. Because Paul and Silas, they were strong, they were courageous, and they were bold, and they saw the power of God. Listen to me carefully. I can't just read the Bible. I can't. Muhammad, I can't just read it and not experience anything. I can't just read it and preach it and not experience it. I have to experience it so that it's real to me when I preach it. And that is why we don't have the passion that we have should have about the power of this God. Go back and talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go and have a word with them. They stood in front of the most powerful king that reigned during that time. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king that reigned during the time of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they were brought, you know the story, when they were brought in front of the most powerful king, Nebuchadnezzar said, let the music play. I like you guys. You're educated. The guy who believes in education too. He said, I like you guys, man. Come on, Shadrach, Meshach. Bow down. Go ahead. Do it. Bow down to this golden image. And everything will be cool. I can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying to the most powerful king, no way, Jose. It's not going to happen under our watch. And he said this. This is what he said. Be it unto thee, O king. You know what they were saying there when they said, be it known unto thee, O king? Get a secretary. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, get a secretary. So, somebody want to be a secretary? We need a secretary. Come on, quick. Go on, quick, man. We have time running out on us here. Get a secretary in. Come on, Nebuchadnezzar. Bring a secretary. So Nebuchadnezzar sent a secretary. What's your name?
Lawson.
Lawson? I like your hair, Lawson. I'm losing mine and you're gaining yours. Man, I'm telling you, these young guys. So, listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar is there on his throne. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is standing in front of the king. And they said to the king, get a secretary. Write this down. We will not bow down. Let it go down in your writing. We will not bow down to this golden image. And the king said, well, you know the power I have. I can hot the furnace of fire 7 times hotter. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, go ahead. You do your thing. We will do our thing. We will not bow down. Be it known unto thee, O king, we will not bow down. Guess what happened? They were thrown into the furnace of fire because Nebuchadnezzar had to keep his word. This was a grand event. They were thrown into the furnace of fire. And because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were what? Say it to me. Strong, courageous, and bold. The king who believed in education, who was an educator himself, had a mathematical problem. Nebuchadnezzar. Yep. Do we have a math teacher in the house? Nobody teach math? Well, we all know math a little. It's 1, 2, 3. Right? In 2, 3, we say in Suriname. Here you say 1, 2, 3. But Nebuchadnezzar, long and behold, he saw a fourth man in the midst of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar was shocked out of his boots. I threw 3 guys in the furnace of fire. And I'm seeing a fort. Nebuchadnezzar needed new contacts. His eyes was going crazy. But his eyes was not going crazy. He don't need new contacts. There was a fourth man in the fire. And that fourth man was the Lord himself. And as they were in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. A fourth man was in the midst. You see what I'm saying? A fourth man in the midst of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they were bold. They were courageous. You see that? They were strong. Walk around now. They are walking around
and a fourth man in them in the fire. Can you go back in time? Stop now. Can you go back in time? It's the most beautiful thing to watch and study. What was he saying to them? What was he saying to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There is no record that he said anything to them, but only his presence was there. But I believe it all my heart. There were some conversation. There were some conversation. I believe he hugged them. He probably kissed them and said, guys, I'm so proud of you. You guys are strong, courageous, and bold. Keep it up. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be in the midst. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a story to tell all their life. We are talking about it for how many thousand years as they walk in that fire and the fourth man in the fire because they trusted in him and because they were strong, they were courageous, they were bold in the Lord, in Christ. And they saw the power of this God in their own eyes. They saw it there. And even with all the fire, you know the rest of the story, nothing was burnt, you know, nothing. There was no smell of smoke upon their skin or anything like that. The power of the God we serve. Talk to Daniel if you don't believe it. Daniel knowing, he knows that Darius sealed it. And when the king put the seal on it, it cannot be turned around. Daniel knowing the consequences, was cast into the lion's den. He's in the lion's den with the lions. Darius, the king, is in the king chamber. And guess what? Daniel was having the best night of his entire life. Darius was having the worst night in his entire life. Nothing could comfort Darius. No music, nothing, nothing was comforting Darius. And Daniel was cast into the lion's den. And he was having the best night of his life. Now, I came to the United States of America, and I saw this on your television. If you want to have the best night in your life, this guy on television said, buy a MyPillow. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. The guy said, he was very passionate. If you get this pillow, you will have the best night of your life. My pillow is the best pillow, blah, 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 blah. I went back to Suriname. And about 2 years or 3 years, I came back. And then I saw the guy again on television, sir. And guess what he's doing now? He has a sheet. He said, this sheet, if you buy this sheet, you know when he lost me? When he said the cotton that made this sheet come from the Sahara in Africa. We have so much cotton here. Right next door there is cotton here. And you're going to bring cotton from over there? I'm not going to buy your sheet. Uh-uh. And you're telling made in America, bah, bah, bah. No, 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 it's not made in America. I'm not buying it. But listen, you don't need a MyPillow. You don't, you know, I look at this. There is so much money and advertisement going into sleep. So much money and advertisement. And so many people probably here in this church can't sleep in the night. One of the big problems you have is sleeping. But the Bible talk about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you trust in him all the way and you experience the peace of God, you go to bed knowing that he'll take care of it. Whatever it is, he will take care of it. Because I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So here is Daniel. He's in the lion's den. You know the story? And Daniel, he's kind of shocked. And Daniel and the lion, Daniel and the lion having a great time laughing and talking. And the lion telling Daniel, hey, Daniel, I'm so proud of you, man. You came right in the den and here we are. And the lion and Daniel having a good time. And don't look at me funny. And say, what is he talking about? The lion could speak to Daniel? If a donkey could talk, a lion could. Study the scripture. Yeah. And there is Daniel in the lion. And King Darius take a run that morning. You know, I like to go back and see these kings in a little jog. He's jogging, man. He's running. I don't have a robe here. But I love to see his robe. Excuse my handkerchief. It's clean, by the way. And his robe flying in the wind, you know. He's running with his kingly robe. He's a king, right? And this expensive robe just flying in the wind. And he went to the lion's den. And he said, oh, Daniel, oh, Daniel. Listen to what he said. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. Wow. Wow. I would love somebody to tell me that. Oh, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. Alive. We serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
Servant of the living God. Servant of the living God. Job was hit with everything that Satan could have given to him. Hit him with all his wealth, all his children, all his fame, everything. Until Job end up in the dumpster. But in the dumpster, you hear Job cried out. I come back another time and preach about that. And Job cried out from the dumpster and said, yet, though he slay me, yet. You know what God is looking for? He's looking for a man that would say, yet. 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 God is looking for his children to say, yet. Go ahead. Bring it on. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Why he said that? I'll tell you why. Because he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. And if you're a Christian, we are the only group of people in the world that can say we serve a risen Savior. Everybody else that start anything, they were false, they dead. Gandhi ashes was sprinkling the Ganges and Muhammad and all of them. But our Savior arose from the dead. They said to Shirley and I, Shirley, tell your husband Muhammad we have a trip coming up to go to Israel. So I said, Shirley, ask him how much for it. It's a very expensive trip to go to Israel. $4,000, $5,000 each. And then with the tourists and all that, and hotel and so. And I think about that. I said, but what am I going to Israel to see? What am I going to Israel to see? I'm going to Israel to see a tomb that is empty. But guess what? I have my Bible. Not that I shouldn't go, but I have my Bible. The tomb is empty. Empty. Come see where he lay. He is not here. He's risen from the dead. Let me share this with you before I forgot. In the replica of Bethlehem manger, the best I have ever seen was in Brandon, Calvary Baptist Church. And so years ago, we were here and I went and saw it. They did an excellent job in replaying Bethlehem manger. And I think about that after I walk away. I say, regardless of what you may do with Bethlehem manger, or how good your play is, Bethlehem manger will never happen again. You know why? Because Bethlehem manger had a one-time birth of Jesus Christ. And Bethlehem manger is empty. Empty. They took him to the cross. You can wear a big chain with a big whatever you want to put on it. But they took him to the cross. The same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem manger. They took him to the cross and they nailed him to the cross. They thought that was the end of this Jesus. But you know the story. The cross is empty.
Amen.
And then they took him into the tomb. And the tomb is empty. Three empty. Bethlehem manger empty. The cross empty. And the tomb empty. And here comes this king telling Daniel, oh, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. Is your God able? And I can hear it from the lion's den. Daniel probably thinking, what is this guy doing here? Go away. He's having the best night in the bosom of the lion. They had their conversation. He's sleeping in. Don't get a chance to sleep in, but now he's sleeping in. And this guy is coming to disturb him. And Daniel probably decided, let me answer him. And from the lion's den, in the bosom of the lion, I can hear Daniel saying, he's able, he's able. I know he is able. I know my God is able to carry me through. He's always able. Great and mighty God we serve. And the only way you can experience and tell your grandchildren and your children about this God is to have a testimony. And the only way you can have that testimony, you have to be strong. You have to be courageous. And you have to be bold. That you can stand in that kitchen and say to your daughter, let me tell you what God did for me and your father. Let me tell you what God has done in our life. We don't have that. Most of us don't have that. We don't have anything. We don't have anything to say. If pastor stand up and say, let's hear some testimony. Everybody's dumb. Nobody have a testimony. Nobody have anything to say. But the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the only way you could say so, you have to be strong. You have to be courageous. And you have to be bold. You have to be like Paul and Silas, dear. Experience the power in singing praises to him. And not complaining, not criticizing. And singing praises to him. That the secretary can make. Did you make any notes? You were supposed to. Were you going to be the secretary? My secretary has no. I like the secretary. So there is no record of everything. Yeah? He's politically correct. Stare at me here, guy. So that's what we are trying to let you to see here, that if only God could help us to understand that he said, you know, what Pastor was talking about, this faith. He said, have faith. One simple verse, you know, you could check it out. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Four words. Have faith, but make sure that faith is in the right place. Because without faith, Pastor was just saying about it, is impossible. Let me repeat that. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And all through the Bible, we see men and women of God that has put their trust in God and their faith in God. And they have accomplished so great and mighty things. Great and mighty things, and I could go on and on and on. Think about that. We could go on. One last story I want to tell you, and then we wrap it up here. In the words of faith, there were only two times, you could write this down, mark it down, two times that Jesus used the word great. In front of faith. Only two times. And he speaks about faith a lot. But when he comes to great, only twice. It was a centurion that came and asked for his servant to be healed. And this centurion, Christ was willing to go to his home, you know the story, and heal the servant. And the centurion said to Christ, You don't have to go. You don't have to come with me. Just say the word. And he said the word. So Christ said to the centurion, I don't know where he got it from, but he exercised such, most of us would have wanted Christ to come and be there. But the man said, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He exercised a kind of faith that God wants you and I to have. Great faith. That he believed that the word of Christ is so powerful that it will heal my servant back probably in another state. That's who we serve. Our Jesus has that kind of power to just say the word. And there was this woman that came whose daughter was demon-possessed. And she was rejected by Christ, rejected by the disciples. And then finally their conversation went back and forth. And she said to Christ, let me take what falls from the master table. Let me be that dog that will come under the table. When you're eating, you have a dog. The crumbs that will fall. Let me be that one that will come under the table. I will come under the table and I will take these crumbs that fall from the master table. And she believed that if only she could get those little crumbs that fall from his table, Jesus' table, her daughter that is demon-possessed will be set free. And Jesus said to her, great faith. Great faith. We don't know if these two persons were Christians. We don't know. We don't know. But they exercise a kind of faith in Christ. It's kind of unheard of. We are troubled about every little thing. And when we are troubled, we remember Tom, Dick, Harry, James, and John. We don't remember Christ. That he's there all the time. That I need to go to him before I go to Tom. I need to go to him before I go to Dick. I need to go to him before I go to Harry. Before I pick up the phone and call all these people that will gossip about my situation. I need to go to him and trust in him and ask him. Because I am strong, I'm courageous, and I'm bold in Christ. We need some mothers in the church. Some mothers in the church that will be like Deborah. That's what I call her. They say, Muhammad, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Deborah. When the commander-in-chief came to her and said, we're losing. Are you going to go into battle? You know what she said? She never said, let me think about it. Let me think about this one. Let me pray about it. Oh, yeah. I'm so spiritual, I have to think about it. I have to pray about it. No. She said, I will surely go. I'm going into this fight. I'm not going to let my Lord be ashamed and Israel be ashamed. I'm getting into this. And she got into it, and she came back, and she was singing and singing and singing. Oh, yeah. She's having a good time with the Lord. She's doing her little Baptist dance, and she's singing and praising God, singing and praising God. Sing. You know, even do that in a Baptist church, they never invite you. I don't know if he's going to invite me back, but I don't really care. I'm having a good time. He's singing and praising God, singing and praising God. She said, I am mother of Israel. We need some other like that. We need some Joshua who said, all right, but it was for me and my house, this way it's going to be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is no if, there is no argument, there is no debate. There are certain things we can debate, but this is not debatable. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and him only. Go to the Muslim, and we wrap it up here. I remember when I was going to the Muslim mosque, my father, and we are three brothers, there was never a time my father was going to the Muslim mosque, and his three sons were not going to the Muslim mosque. Let me repeat that. There was never a time my father was going to the Muslim mosque, and his three sons were not going with him to the Muslim mosque. It never crossed my mind to say to my father, I don't feel like it. I have a cricket game. I have a football game. I think my father would have made me feel like it in a very hurry. Never did I say, Dad, I don't feel like it. I have to go out with some friends, blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. When he was going to the mosque, we were going to the Muslim mosque. When the Hindus are going, come to Suriname and see. The Hindus with their Hindu attire, they're going. The man is walking to the Hindu temple. He and his wife, all six children, all seven children, five, whatever, they're all going to the temple. The Hindu temple. They're going to fall down and worship snakes and cats and all kinds of stuff in that temple. But when you come to us, we love it. Most homes I go into, probably he has one. I do not know. Probably he has one. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I see that so in so many homes. I think people just take that thing down and burn it. You know why? Because none of their children even go to the church. But it's a feel-good thing. Feel good. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, I will not have that in my home if I don't believe in it. Because that's the word of God. I will not have a plaque like that in my home. This is Muhammad speaking. I don't know about you. That I don't believe. Rachel is here in the United States. And every Sunday when she calls, you know the first question? She's there, she can witness it. Hi, Ray. How was church today? Rachel said, yes, Dad, I was in church. You want to hear what he preached on? That's the way we brought them up. I have one that is 48 years in Tennessee. She's so involved with her husband and her children in church, in serving God. One generation to another generation to another generation. Strong, courageous, and bold. If we had them here, this auditorium would be packed. May God help us as fathers, as mothers, as individual Christians. To be strong, courageous, and bold. Strong, courageous, and bold. And when the persecution comes, remember the chains of Paul and Silas. Bring it on, man. Bring it on. Let's see what you got. And when they bring it on, Paul and Silas had a singing in the prison. And a testimony was written by the secretary. Be it known unto you. Be it known unto the world, the Muslim, the Hindus, and all the isms. We will serve the Lord thy God and him only. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you all. Thank you all. God bless you all. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. You keep it. Hold on to this. And you hold on to that. You keep that chain.
Lord, tonight we have been challenged. Straight from Scripture, to take a stand for you, but through the power of Christ. Lord, we've been challenged tonight to have a song, even when we don't feel like singing. We've been challenged tonight to have a testimony. And Lord, I pray tonight that all of us have the testimony of salvation. But Lord, going past that, I pray that we'd see you do miracles in our lives. God, you've not put Pine Bluff Baptist here on this street just to have some great years in the past. Thank God for it. But God, I believe you want to keep working. Help us to have faith to do that. And Lord, tonight, there could be someone with a great need. Maybe someone under great conviction tonight. And Lord, it's time for us to pray. Commit ourselves to you and to bring our burdens to the Lord. And God, I pray you'd speak to every, I think of our young people tonight as he preached. I pray these young people would commit to being strong in Christ. Lord, I pray we'd see a great response tonight. Thank you for what we've heard. You've been good to us, Lord. Help us now. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.